Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to the shit show.
Or Ages of Rock podcast, depends on how you look at it.
Or just both.
Sometimes they're one and the same.
You get two for one. And two mean, you know, shit.
Like number two.
There you go. Number two.
Well, I'm considering that we're finishing up the 1984 albums this week, there are at least two number twos in this list. And they're from the same fucking band.
And then, yeah, I got a question about that. I'm going to ask a question to our viewers here in a little bit when we get to that point.
Well, don't ask me because I don't know shit about that band.
I don't either.
Yeah. I know tonight we're going to review some records, but Loretta Lynn died today.
I saw that.
Yeah, I saw just that.
Coal miner's daughter.
Thought I'd throw that out there just for
91, I think.
She was 90.
I think she was 90. She's just straight up 90.
Yeah, she had
straight up now.
I think if I read it right, it was she had a stroke in 2018, and then she broke her hip the year later, or actually the year previous. I don't know. One of the two.
I don't know.
At that point, that's when she quit touring. She toured for 57 years, I think, or something like that.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah, she outlived the Rolling Stones so far.
Yeah.
Well, how old's Dolly Parton, though? Dolly Parton's like up there, too.
She's in her 70s.
Is she really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's in her mid to late 70s.
Okay.
Dennis is getting out the Google.
Well, she had just as much work. I tell you what, for 90 years old, she looked like she was a 12. She had a lot of work done on her face. She was pulled back. But now her and Kid Rock were really good friends. I saw something today. He posted something about her and said he was kind of for a loss for words, but they did.
Up Wikipedia and I'm going to type in Dolly Parton and I type in Wikipedia. So I did a Wikipedia search for Wikipedia.
What did you come up with?
Wikipedia.
Oh, did you say boobs? Is that what you said? Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you guys, this last couple of weeks has just
she's 76,
a non-stop blur. I told you she was in her mid to late 70s.
Yeah,
that's 76. Pretty good. So now I don't have to look it up because I'd probably
that's her bra size too.
Dolly Parton's boobs.com.
76 double E's.
Anyway, you guys went to a concert on Thursday.
We did. It was a great show.
It was a fantastic show. It was the first show of the Accepts United States tour. It was in Nashville at this venue. What was the venue it was called? It was a Brooklyn Bowl. Fantastic venue. I like that place.
Yeah.
It was kind of in a big old warehouse looking building. Had like a nice, like a restaurant bar, and then had was 8-lane bowling alley with all these nice couches.
Probably a dozen lanes. I don't know.
Yeah, a dozen lanes. And then it was like a 2-story venue at the very end of it. And great sound, great lights. You could see real good. There was a lot of good vantage points. There was upstairs, downstairs. We went down on the floor, did it old school, got real right up there, you know, close enough to scare the band. And And a lot of tall people in Nashville. Man, that place was crawling with giants. I mean,
you and Dennis and Rod right there.
Oh, like we walked in.
The three of us are pretty tall. I don't know if you
Alan, we walked in, though, but when we walked in, we're standing here, and Rod turns around to me and goes, look over here.
Oh, yeah, that one dude was like 6'8".
No. He was over seven foot because Rodney's top of his head came to this dude's shoulders.
Yeah, he was huge.
He had feet like that long. He was like, skis on his feet. But I started looking around and I'm going, God damn, there's a lot of tall people in this place.
Yeah. Yes, we got to see Phil and Chris Williams and ran into our buddy
Christopher Williams.
Christopher Williams, yeah. Sorry. So
yeah, they gave us a little. I mean, they could see us from the thing. They were pointing out.
Get a little. We got a little heads up every now and then. And then,
probably they were pointing to you guys so they could get security to run y'all out.
Probably. No, security just not really because security never came. So we're not worried about it.
And then Sinzak was there. Chris Sinzak. We talked to him, and for a little bit.
Yeah, we talked to our buddy, Ryan Cook. We talked to him.
Yep.
For a little bit.
ET was there also. Saw him. We've seen him twice in a row. There was a local band there that opened up. Lost Circus. They were really, I mean, they were good.
They were good.
I liked them better than I did the second band. The second band was they were a little too much for me a little bit. I mean, they were high energy. It was just a little bit much for my taste.
This was a little, wasn't my thing.
And that's their opener that's going with them.
Yeah, they should take Lost Circus.
Was it Narcotic something? I can't remember what.
No idea.
Was. I really didn't know. Just didn't care. But anyway,
I mean, they weren't horrible. Just not my thing.
But Accept came out, played fantastic. You know, I've seen them twice before, and that was in the 80s. Have not seen them with Mark or with Christopher or Philip. They were fucking on key. I mean, they had everything down pat, high energy show, a lot of movement, a lot of lights, great song list. I mean, they had some old, had some new. Rod was a little disappointed. He wanted to hear more old, but the thing is, they're not going to play all that old stuff. I mean, Mark's been in there long enough now. They've had a lot of great albums with Mark, so they're going to play. Plus, they're promoting a new album, so they're going to be playing the newer stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a few more old things. You get what you get, right? But I did after the show, I found this.
Cool.
For those who can't see it, I found Metal Heart on LP that I have been looking for.
Metal Heart.
I'm sorry. I was looking at that actually at Queen's Record. I mean, not Queen. Shit. Quiet Riot was up here earlier on my thing. It popped up to that. Anyway.
We don't want to hear about your thing popping up.
I actually have an OG of that I bought here recently.
Can we start over? Can you edit this? No. Let me just start
over.
Absolutely not.
Screw this up.
It's the shit show.
Yeah. This, the cover is in bad shape, but the album looks really good.
Good. Did you find that in Nashville or?
No, I actually found it in Evansville at Space Monkeys.
Space Monkey. Okay. What did he gouge you for?
$15.
Oh, that's not bad then.
No, I didn't think it was bad. The cover's not the greatest, but there's other stuff in this bag. What else is in here? Oh my God, there's all kinds of stuff in here.
What'd you get? I didn't get nothing this week.
Oh, there's birthday cards.
Oh.
For nephews. I didn't buy these at Space Monkey. What the hell is this? Oh, they're mine. I hear it in here. They're mine. Oh. Apparently, Lisa used my bag for her stuff too. Okay.
Of course she does.
We got rock sludge all over your cards.
So did you get any more albums or is that the only thing you got?
Nah, it's only like I got.
Okay, cool. Is that the only place you went?
That is the only place I went.
I didn't know if you said
something. Oh, no, that's not true. That's a lie.
You were going to go to, you didn't go in any place in Nashville then? You just got out of there, got the hell out of there?
Yeah, I left by nothing opened till 10 or 11 or something like that. So I bolted before.
Yeah, we went, the show was really good. Got over, what was the time it got over? About 11:30?
Yeah, 11:30. Like
so Bill didn't have to Uber back. We took him back to the Maxwell house where he was staying, dropped his ass off, and then me and Rod hit the road and went north. Got to right there at before you cross into Kentucky, and we stopped at the Waffle House and ate a big breakfast. No, not Corden. That's on the other. That's
in Louisville.
Yeah,
that's Clarksville. By Louisville, not
Clarksville. Yeah. We stopped Clarksville. And had a good Waffle House breakfast, and then Rod snored all the way home. I thought, man, it'd be nice. I got somebody to talk to on the way home. Well, I heard the whole way home, so it did keep me up. And then we got home. I think I dropped him off at 2:30, and I got home, got in bed by 3. So anyway.
But it was a good show. Glad I went.
It was a fantastic show.
For me, it was like a last minute deal. I didn't decide to 2 days before, and it was worth it for sure. Yeah. And we got to see, Ron Jones from his podcast.
Yeah,
we got to see
him too. Got to see them first. Yep.
And Mike Moon. And
that'd be the Let It Rip podcast.
Yeah, Let It Rip. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you get a chance to go out, check their, go to the website, see where they're going to be playing on this tour. And if you get a chance to, they get close to you, go see them. Because they're
fantastic. It's definitely worth it.
It is fantastic.
I would go again.
First class rock show. There you go.
Correct. All right.
Cool.
Enough concert review.
Yeah. It was good.
Yep.
All right.
All right. We're gonna be doing seven or eight or nine albums tonight.
Well, we're not gonna do the Fast Way album like I wanted to last week, and only reason being is that was in 1983. I didn't realize it was an 84 release. So
after Dennis said that, then we had to do homework, and we found out he was wrong. So
yeah, I was wrong.
I know we're all shocked by that, but it's true.
So we'll just go with what we got, minus the Dokken album, because we already did that last week. So we actually have nine albums to look at this week.
Sort of.
Yeah.
So we have seven albums to look at and two to make fun of.
Two to make fun. Actually, three to make fun of.
Uh-oh.
Actually, maybe three. Four to make
fun of. Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Five. I don't know.
Eight, anyway. Five. Okay, whatever. All right. Let's get started.
All right.
All right. So first record's Van Halen, 1984. 84. Came out January 9th, the day before my birthday in 1984.
Right.
Let's see.
Here, let me pull up the...
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sold like, I don't know, a bazillion copies, right? Because this thing just...
I have one.
Flipped Van Halen, over. Things went absolutely bananas after this record.
Bananas, yeah.
For them. Let's see. Did it make the... How long was this record? Did it make the 30-minute list?
33 minutes.
Oh, 33 minutes. Good job.
Nine songs.
There you go. That's how it works for them.
You want to hear what the songs are?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. 1984, which is kind of an intro to Jump. Next, we have Panama, Top Jimmy, Drop Dead Legs, Hot for Teacher, All Wait, Girl Gone Bad, and House of Pain. That's a solid album.
Super, super duper trivia time here. Michael McDonald co-wrote I'll Wait.
Yes, I do.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it at the Doobies concert, those sons of bitches.
No, there's some great guitar work on this album, too.
I've mentioned before, this was my introduction to Van Halen. It is my favorite Van Halen album. Right. And I'm still to this day cracked up that people complain about the synthesizers on this album when they're only on two songs.
Right.
Well, three if you count 1984, but it's kind of a medley intro thing, whatever, song matchup, if you will.
The thing is, too, this is the death of Eddie's great guitar sound. This was the last of what I consider Eddie's best tone. The next album started going with that tinny digital sound. I was never a fan of that. This still had that great...
There you go.
Overdrive Marshall.
Well, but the next record came out, was a complete change, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying it was.
So it's, yeah. That was
but his guitar sound was he completely changed tone different. Really bad.
Yeah, completely different deal.
Great songs on here, though. I mean, I'm burnt on Jump and Panama, but and Hot for
Teacher. Then don't watch the Foo Fighters tribute because.
Oh, I know.
Wolfie did Panama.
And he did.
Which I'm kind of disappointed he did because everybody wanted him to do it, so I didn't want him to do it,
He should have did like Girl Gone Bad or one of those.
Girl Gone Bad or Top Jimmy or any of those, man.
Yeah. I know he can do it. I mean, he could. It's not out of his wheelhouse, but anyway.
Yep.
So, Bill, did you opine on this album?
I did. I like this record. And for me, too, it was kind of like I've gotten into some of the Van Halen stuff before that, but for this album, I really did like it. It was definitely had a different feel to it, more of a pop feel than the other ones, I think. And, it obviously did. I mean, cause it just brought, the masses for sure. Great record. Definitely a good one. That's for sure.
I saw this tour too. This was the first.
I did not see this tour. This tour sold out before I could get a ticket.
Yeah, it was sold out at Robert Stadium.
But I tried.
Never seen any incarnation of Van Halen. The closest I've come to seeing any incarnation of Van Halen was when I saw Chickenfoot at Rocklahoma.
Well, it wasn't that good of a show. It was at the very end of the David Lee Roth era of Van Halen. You could tell that everybody was not getting along at that point. It was kind of a shit show, kind of like this show, but louder. And a lot more people listen to it.
A few more people there.
Yeah, but no, yes. It was. I mean, it was a fun. Don't get me wrong. It was a great night, fun time. But you could just tell by watching the band. We were on the floor. We were pretty close to the stage, and it was. You just could tell it was a mess. I mean, the band was complete off the rails at that point.
Yeah, so I saw the Enum and Smile tour.
Right.
So I saw David for his first solo tour, and then I saw them in Indianapolis later on a different tour with Sammy. So right. I never got to see
the real Van Halen,
and I really wouldn't have any desire to see it now. I just don't. I mean, I wouldn't have had any the last time they toured. And
I call it one
David
of those
Lee Roth
shows.
Is done and needs to just be done and walk away, dude. So
I saw it pre. Well, we've talked about this before. I saw it pre him going into rehab. In Indianapolis, and it was not a good show. He was really wigged out at that point, and you know, David was not on its game. You know, it was good to see him one more time, but it wasn't memorable. All right.
Oh, it was memorable, but just for the wrong reasons.
Just for the wrong reasons. Sure. Yeah, there are those times. That's for sure.
That it was at Kaseko, and it was the fucking worst sound I've ever had. We were up in the top, and the sound was just fucking horrendous. I mean, it was not good. Never go there.
All right, next record up on this tour is Animalize by a band that we all know and love at times.
I don't remember. Yeah,
it was the it was released on September 13th, 1984. It was the 12th studio album. It was the only album with Mark St. John, who right at the end of this, right before they started touring, he developed some hand issues and arthritis and that kind of stuff. And
Reuters syndrome, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Yeah,
and then that was the when Vinnie Vincent came on the scene in April. And then Okay,
Bruce came in at that point. Bruce took over for Mark St. John.
Yeah, Vinnie wasn't on Animalize.
No, I saw the Animalize tour, and that was Bruce.
Okay, well, Wikipedia's wrong.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
Oh, no. I misread it. I should know this. I got this line.
Don't believe Wikipedia. Totally misread it.
We need to edit that for sure.
Okay. You got to hand your KISS card in.
I do. That was so bad.
Not editing that.
I know. I was just reading this. So I should have not just read that. That was bad.
Almost a Van Halen album. Nine songs, 36 minutes.
It says replaced Benny. And I didn't read that part. My fart.
36 minutes, 5 seconds. Almost. This is a little over a Van Halen album. There you go.
Man, I'm struggling today. You should just go
You're
on.
All right.
We're recording way too early.
You haven't had your time.
All right. Read the list there, buddy.
Okay. So Animalize. We had I Had Enough, quote, Into the Fire. Heaven's on Fire. Burn, Bitch, Burn. We got a fire thing going here, don't we? I never really thought about it. Get All You Can Take, Lonely Is the Hunter, Under the Gun, Thrills in the Night, While the City Sleeps, and Murder in High Heels. Ta-da! That's it. 9 songs. A lot of songs I don't really...
So,
it's not on
Alan
my
probably likes
playlist.
This record.
Probably does.
I'm just going to guess.
Yeah. Alan?
Mostly. You know, this was... I think this was their only... 1980s album that went platinum.
Really? Interesting.
Wow.
If I'm remembering what some other history buff said correctly, then this was the only one that did go platinum.
Right.
It's very possible. Very possible.
But I mean, this is also the album where Gene comes up with some of his greatest lyrics.
Is this Log in the Fireplace?
I want to put your log in my fireplace. Burn, bitch, burn.
Okay. We got to give him credit for that one.
Let me be your king bee. I want your hornet's nest. Is in any way you slice it's on the side. I'm disregard. Okay, so it's a shit show for all of us.
I don't know why people listen to this podcast.
I'm doing pretty good.
Because they revel in our stupidity.
Actually, I bought this at...
The ignorance is amazing.
Produced by Paul Stanley, associate producer Gene Simmons.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Paul, you have to put my name but on this.
I'm not a big... I mean, this is not one that I actually pull out and listen to.
I like this record. Yeah, I like the sound of this record. I like the songs. They're fun. I like this record.
It's one of those ones that's kind of off my radar. It's not like this bad. It's just one that I don't pick out. I never think about, man, I need to listen to Animalize.
I love Heaven's on Fire. That's one of my favorite songs. I like that song.
Yeah, I liked it.
Live, I love it. I think it's great.
1,000 times I heard it.
I don't care.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to agree with Dennis. This is one of those that if I never heard it again, I wouldn't be mad. But then every time I hear it, I'm singing along. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's the burnout factor. It's a good song, though. I mean,
if you didn't ever listen to any song that you got burnt out on, you wouldn't listen to anything because they play the shit out of the same 12 songs all the time. So,
well, I mean, and that was a huge, I mean, Heaven's on Fire was a huge MTV hit. You know, it was played constantly, you know, for a short period of time. There they are, looking for my readers. I'm sitting here, my neck's hurting and I can't look at my bifocals. There we go. Now I'm better. You're all clear.
All right. Are we done with that one?
Yeah.
Are we ready to move on?
Let's just move on. I'm not, unless somebody's got something else to talk about on that one.
That's funny.
Okay. Let me pull this one up now.
Wait, why did it do that? Sorry, guys. This has got a little pop-up box that appeared over the record, over the thing. Weird. Okay.
So Wikipedia wanting money.
Yeah, Wikipedia is wanting some money, and I can't make it go away.
Some fucking money, then.
That's right. Not going to happen. Let me see if I can get it to rewind. There we go. Now I need to go away. There's not a lot of information about this record, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So this record came out. This is Wasp, is what we're going to talk about, which is Animal.
Album, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Animal, Fuck Like a Beast. It's a song by American heavy metal band Wasp. It's the debut album, 1984. And let's see. There's not a lot of stuff on it. The story behind the lyrics is, guess what it's about?
Yeah, 13 songs, 48 minutes, 43 seconds. So
yep. Rip off the song list there, pal.
Okay, so we got Animal, in quote, Fuck Like a Beast, I Want to Be Somebody, Love Machine, The Flame, Bad, School Days, Hellion, Sleeping, quote, in the fire, On Your Knees, Terminator, it's not Terminator, it's Terminator, The Torture Never Stops, Show No Mercy, and Paint It Black. My friend Keith bought this album. He was a real big Wasp fan, our drummer, and from Drakor. And he bought this album. We had this album at our apartment for a while. I like the first side because it has some pretty good, you know, I Want to Be Somebody, Love Machine. Those were big songs. On the other side, just kind of Paint It Black's okay. Blackie's voice is one of those things that I just have to take in small doses.
Hashtag small doses.
No, small doses. I mean,
he's got small doses.
It's like halitosis.
It's like a disease. It's small doses.
Yeah. No, it's it sounds cool, but it just gets old. It grinds on my nerves, so I just can't take a lot of Wasp.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say just the opposite of what you said about Paint It Black. Blackie has several covers that I really like, and that is absolutely not one of them at all. You know, Paint It Black is one of my favorite Rolling Stone songs. So I was excited when I found out he covered it, and then I heard it, and I'm like, well, you didn't do that one any favors.
You just ruined that for me.
But I do like the song On Your Knees.
Right.
I Want to Be Somebody and L-O-V-E Machine. Those are two fantastic songs.
Those were staples, too. Yeah. They still are staples, I mean, for that band. I mean,
well, I'm pretty sure that when I see them the day before Thanksgiving, look, Brian, I remembered. I get to hear those songs, which would be great because I love those songs.
Where are you going to see them at?
At the Ryman Theater.
Wow.
In Nashville.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe they're playing.
I know. I'm kind of afraid the place is going to just spontaneously combust.
It might. It is a church, you know.
His big mic stand throne thing might just fall through the fucking floor because it, you know, it's an old wooden stage, you know. Can't hold up him and he's not thin himself, you know. Plus the mic stand might just.
Well, I think he's been doing the pre-tour Vince workout.
I did hear a live recording of him recently, and I mean he sounds like Blackie. I mean, he doesn't sound any worse than he did, and he doesn't sound any better. It's Blackie's voice. So, but no, this album, I can listen to it a little bit. It in my rotation. Do I own it? No. But
yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'd never heard this record before. I listened to it the other day. I don't remember what day it was.
Right.
That was last week. And I actually found myself, I liked it. I didn't, you know, it wasn't.
There you go.
It wasn't horrible, but it was it definitely had a theme, and after a while I was kind of like, okay, but it wasn't a horrible record at all. Right. not like some other stuff we're gonna talk about here in a few minutes, but I did find myself liking it, but there you go.
Yeah, I never actually owned this one. I had only the Wasp album I've ever owned is Live in the Raw. That's the only one I ever had on cassette. Which has
I've got one songs. Of his greatest hit CDs.
Right.
The one with Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, which is a great cover, by the
that
way.
That is a pretty good cover.
That's a good cover. Yeah.
Always like that Blind in Texas song, too. That's a good song. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on. Wait a minute. I got to get my.
Oh.
Get the list back up. Yeah, okay. So we're. Odd. So next, we're going to be talking about Quiet Riot. And that is Condition Critical. That is the record, which is, let's see, that came out in 1984, July 27th. This was, what, the third record? Is that right? Or the second record?
Well, it was the second record with the Metal Health lineup.
Right. Because they had a bunch of records before with...
when Randy Rhoads.
Records with Randy and some earlier stuff. But yeah, with the one that we... the people that we know, Metal Health was 83, Condition Critical was their follow-up to that.
And yeah,
they had Quiet Riot 3 came out in 86, so that was this was their sophomore album.
Yeah, not a bad sophomore album
for this. Yeah,
not a bad one.
The only big song on here, I mean the biggest song, was Mama We're All Crazy Now, which was another, you know, it's a Slade, you know, cover. You know, they just didn't have that metal, you know. They had a couple, and it had some good hits off that first album, and it's just, I don't know, I just think this one here just falls short. It
what's the track listing?
Okay, so we have Sign of the Times, Mama We're All Crazy Now, Party All Night, Stomp Your Hands and Clap Your Feet. I think that's the stupidest fucking song I've ever.
You know, honestly, that sounds like it could be a Slade song too.
It may be. I don't
know. Could be.
Winner Takes All, Condition Critical, Scream and Shout, Red Alert, Bad Boy, and We're Born to Rock. Or We Were Born to Rock. I listened to this while mowing the other day, and just kind of, I was so glad when it was over. I was either done mowing, it's like, oh, good.
Well, I think I remember when I got this, I got it on cassette, and I listened to side one a whole lot more than I listened to side two.
Yeah. I agree on that. I mean, it's Quiet Riot. I mean, it's not horrible. It just doesn't have, it just doesn't rock. It's not as good as the first album. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of a letdown for me. I mean, and I think that's why, because you see it, hear that first album, like, man, that was so great. Let's hear this next album. And it's just like, okay.
Well, you know, they suffered with the same problem that a lot of those other bands suffered with. You had all your life to write this quote unquote first album, and you've got 9 months to write your second one, you know? So I get it.
Yeah. It didn't have the, you know, off the record before this, Slick Black Cadillac was a song that is one of my favorites. Just, I love that song. So there's none of that here. So
no.
It's then that's one of the things that, I mean, it's not a horrible record, It's just a letdown
for me.
Yeah, it's not the greatest either. No. So not bad, but not great. So all right.
We just want to lump these next two. I don't even want to read the set list.
Well, let's talk about it. Yeah. So there's two records, both by Manowar. I don't know how they ended up in this list, but they ended up in the list that we got. So that's what we're using. Hail to England is the first record, and the second record is I can't hardly read it when I pull it up, but I didn't even look at it.
So
oh, Sign of the Hammer.
Right.
That's the second one. And so the first record came out in where's the date? Because I had date pulled up here earlier.
I don't have the dates, but I got the year.
Yeah, January of 1984. Right. Or July of 84 is when this record came out. And the cover is cool as hell, by the way.
The Hail to England one?
Yeah, that's the Hail to England one. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's almost reminiscent of a Iron Maiden record.
It is.
Yeah, very much so.
I've got it pulled up. Let's just do Blood of My Enemies, Each Dawn I Die, Kill with Power, Hail to England, Armies of the Immortals, Black Arrows, and Bridge of Death. 33 minutes and 26 seconds. It's a Van Halen album. But not Van Halen.
Yeah, and in my opinion...
So would that make it a Man Halen album?
A Man Halen.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you know,
then you got what? Sign of the Hammer. That's the second one. Same year, 84.
Yeah, that one came out in October, so they weren't that far apart.
And that was All Men Play on 10, Animals, Thor, The Powerhead, Mountains, Sign of the Hammer, The Oath, Thunder Pick, and Diana, The Cult of the Damned.
Is it the same The Oath that Paul Stanley wrote?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I surely doubt it.
God, I doubt that.
Here's my question. Okay. So you know that this guy who put this meme up and this list together was a huge Manowar fan because he put these in here. He had other albums he could have picked in 1984. I mean, you could have put Fast.
Well, I don't know if he's a fan or not.
Anyway, I want to talk to somebody who was a huge Manowar fan back in 1984, and then I want to ask them, are you still a huge Manowar fan? Because if you are, you're an idiot.
Why do you say that? People think Kiss fans are idiots. I don't know, dude, that's your opinion, dude.
I went straight from Quiet Riot to listen to Manowar, and I'm listening to shit and I'm like going, this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. I mean, Orion's this, and it's like, and you know, they're these big muscle bound, you know, oiled up dudes, and they're like Vikings and shit. And
it's a shtick, like everybody
else.
And
the vocals are terrible. The fucking shit, everything's just, it's just one big shit pile. Man, oh shit, that's what.
Okay, I have to. Although I didn't like it, I have to agree. I'm not going to shit all over it because I think the guy's voice is pretty good.
Really? Okay. I may have to go listen back.
I mean, I think his voice is pretty good. I just got tired of the songs all sounded the same.
Yeah,
it's just that's the part that I was struggling with. It was just like, okay, it just was like one long song. I'd start and then I'd skip. No. I listened to like six songs and I was like, okay, I've heard the same song for like 25 minutes. We're done. So, but I thought the guy's voice was pretty good, but the songs were basically the same song just over and over again. So I got bored pretty quick.
My question is, are they still around?
I don't know.
Here, I'm going to look them up.
It's a good question. I have no idea. And then I didn't bother with the second one. I didn't bother to even go down a road of even trying to pull up the Sign of the Hammer because I had enough of the, you know, whatever the first record was called.
And the thing is, it's all that sword, because it says here their lyrics are based on fantasy, sword and sorcery, Norse mythology. And I'm like, man, you know, that shit just gets old real quick.
Well, it's okay. I mean,
Iron Maiden, you've got some historical.
True.
Information that their songs are based on.
Yeah.
Oh, I just didn't. What's the next album, Bill? Let's just go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off.
Let's rip the Band-Aid off. So the next Manowar record or the next record period?
No, the next record period.
Okay, the next record period is Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi's debut record came out July 21st, 1984. Damn, I cannot read. January 21st of 1984. This is horrible. My God.
Oh, can I, anyway. can I finish up something here real quick?
Nope, you're finished. We moved on.
Pulled out too quick.
Nope. That's the way it goes.
That's what she said.
Let's don't go quick. Backwards to that. Let's just don't go back.
No, real quick. Real quick. In 1984, the band was included in the Guinness Book of World Records for delivering the loudest performance, a record which they have since broken on two occasions. They also hold the world record for the longest heavy metal concert after playing 5 hours and 1 minute in 2008.
God.
Was there anybody had in to be attendance?
Painful.
I'm just telling you. And they are still current. And they have, yeah, they're still out there. Still out there.
Wow.
Painfully hurting everybody.
Okay. If anybody that listens to this or watches this is a Man of War fan, you've got to reach out to us because we have to understand.
We want to talk to you. We want to interview.
We do not get it. So
they'll show up with a Viking helmet.
They will. And a sword and some other stuff to bludgeon us and stuff.
Okay. I'm done. I had to read it though. It's like,
all right, so we're going to talk about Bon Jovi's debut album, which is January 21st, 1984. There, okay. We're going that way.
Woo-hoo.
Let's see. It had a couple of songs on it. Actually, I like this record a lot. So, do you have a track listing in front of you? You want me to read it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, roll it.
All right, hold on. I had it.
No, roll it with Skid Row.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, wrong.
Okay,
wrong,
here we
wrong
go. Again. All right, so we have, starting out the album, Runaway. Boy, what a great song to start out with. Roulette, She Don't Know Me, Shot Through the Heart, Love Lies, Breakout, Burning for Love, Come Back, and Get Ready. 38 minutes, 33 seconds, 9 songs. I like She Don't Know Me a lot, too. I like Runaway.
And yeah, Runaway and She Don't Know Me are really the only two songs from that album that I'm familiar with.
And I was the same way. I did listen to the rest of it, and it's listenable. It's salvageable. Never been a huge Bon Jovi fan ever. So just, but I do like Runaway. I think it's a fantastic song.
I like this record.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing against it.
I've liked it since the first
little,
time.
Little
it.
News. Tico Torres was heard saying this weekend that for the anniversary tour coming up next year, that Richie's coming back. Now the fact
you know it isn't going to matter.
The fact that it now that John, I mean, John can't sing worth a shit. I mean,
I wouldn't
go with that. I wouldn't go to that. I wouldn't even get close to that fucking concert.
I went for free the last time, and I won't go for free again. That tells you that's not going to happen.
So, if you had to go to a Man of War concert or a Bon Jovi concert, which one would you go to first?
I'd go to a Bon Jovi concert.
It's that bad.
I'd definitely go to at least because at least I can sing. I can sing.
You know the songs. Along, you know the songs. Know the, right.
Well, not if he has the same set list he did last time, because the set list he did last time was chock full of stuff, new stuff that nobody knew, and people were pissed. Fuck. I mean, I heard it over and over again. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff he didn't do that he should have or could have done, but he didn't do. He did a lot of new stuff that was just boring. Not bad enough that he really couldn't sing anymore, but then the songs were boring, so that added to the bad part of it. So there you go. That's all I got to say about that. What do you think, Alan? What do you like? What about this record?
I think we should make fun of Dennis before he puts his headpiece back on.
We should. We should.
Max's alarm. My son works nights, so his alarm's going off and there's music playing. I didn't want it to pick up on my microphone. I had to tell him to shut that shit down.
Yeah. It's far enough away, the proximity to your mic.
Probably. Yeah, if it picks that up, man, that's pretty good.
But it was on Bill's phone that day, too. We got nailed for that. I mean, it was, wasn't that?
Yeah, close? But Bill's phone was also right by his microphone.
Yeah, it's right by my microphone. Yours is in the other room, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that, anyway. It was irritating me. So anyway, go
ahead. Next album.
All right. Bon Jovi. That'd be we're just talking about Bon Jovi.
No, I said I didn't hear what Alan said. I was yelling at Max, so I didn't get to hear. So did you like it, Alan?
All I said was we should say something about you before you put your headset back on.
Okay, gotcha.
No, I said my piece right at the beginning, just the two songs.
Gotcha. All right, where are we at now?
All right. Next record up is, I believe, Wings of Tomorrow by Europe. So this album came out in February 24th of 1984.
This is pre...
Bet you this has zero songs that Alan is familiar with.
This has zero songs that Dennis has, that has nothing. I was listening to it today on the way home because I'm late to the party trying to get this shit taken care of. And I'm like going, oh shit, this is actually pre the final countdown. And it's like, there's nothing on here I know. I mean, I'm going through the songs going, nope,
It is, it is like three records or two records prior to the final countdown.
Yeah. And there's nothing on there.
No, not really. There it wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't like it wouldn't have made me. It wouldn't have made me buy another record.
If you look on Spotify, if you look at their top five popular songs, the number five song, "Open Your Heart," is from that album, with 20 million listens.
Wow. Well, sure. I'm sure I heard it.
Final Countdown has 425 million listens.
Bill is so excited about "Open Your Heart," he yawned.
Yeah, yawned.
Yeah, there's this. So Wings of Tomorrow, real quick. Stormwind, Scream of Anger, Open Your Heart, Treated Bad Again, Aphasia, Wings of Tomorrow, Wasted Time, and Lion Eyes. Dreamer, Dance the Night Away. 10 songs, 38 minutes. Don't know any of them. And it was very forgetful.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, nothing there.
It's probably a smash in Europe.
Yeah,
this came out. Well, let's see. Was it a smash in Europe? The Swedish album chart, it was it charted at 20. And the Japanese album chart, it was 24.
Wow.
Just for the record, Japan is in Asia, not in Europe.
Well, on the Swedish album chart, it was 20. On the Japanese album chart, it was 24.
All right.
Did I say Asia?
No, I'm just being busting my balls. I'm just busting your balls, man.
Son of a bitch, man.
When we get done with this, too, something just popped up. I want to talk about something, too.
We don't want to see it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to talk about it.
No. I want to talk about it. I want to ask you guys a question. It's a musical question.
Okay. That went over Dennis's head.
It did. We got one more album to review.
We saved the best for last.
We did save the best for last.
Damn right we did.
100% agree with that.
Yes.
Okay. Rat Out of the Cellar. This was came out in February 27th of 1984. It was their debut record, and boy, did it make some noise. Holy moly.
And the noise was Wanted Man, You're in Trouble, Round and Round, In Your Direction, She Wants Money, Lack of Communication, Back for More, The Morning After, I'm Insane, and The Scene of the Crime. I do not dislike any song on this album. You could start this album from any fucking direction, any point in this album, and I'll turn it to 10 every time. I'm not a huge Rat fan. After this, I kind of lost. I mean, there's songs here and there. But this album has kind of a time machine for me, too. It's just the time that it came out. We were listening to this pretty heavy. We played, actually, we used to play In Your Direction, She Wants Money, and Wanted Man in our band. So we had, you know, we were pretty heavy on the Rat at that point. This is a fantastic fucking album. I mean, it's one of those ones that, you know, they blew their, you know, we worked on
these
songs.
They spent all of the money in their wallet.
Yes. There you go. But it is a fantastic album. And it has Tony Katane on the cover. There you go.
So it's got to be good.
And the videos, you know, they hit it with MTV. You know, they were fucking huge on MTV.
And how many of those videos from this album had Milton Berle in them?
Oh my gosh.
All of them. Stephen Piercy's uncle.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. That's why. But they had a video for Wanted Man. They had Round and Round. What was the other one they had? There was another video. Was it Back for More?
Probably.
I don't remember.
I would think so. But so they had Round and Round. Lack of Communication was another single that came out. So I don't know if that made a video or not. I would think it would be.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, what a fantastic fucking album. I like to listen. This is one that I will listen to quite often.
I have to say, for me, I like about half of this album.
Really?
But wow. I was never a huge Rat fan. I've seen them twice. Both times I saw them at Rocklahoma. The first year I saw them, it was when the classic lineup minus Robin Crosby.
Right.
And they were on fire. And then when I saw them 2 years later at Rocklahoma again, it was a shit show.
I saw Stephen Piercy down at what was that, Fast Eddie's? Remember that place down there?
Yeah.
And he had it. He didn't have anybody in the band with him. It was him and some people. And it was okay. Rat's never been a good live band. Ronnie could attest to that. Ronnie seen him earlier on too. And he was very, they opened for, actually, Twisted Sister opened for Rat. And Twisted Sister tore the place apart. And that Rat came out and just couldn't even get started. You know, it was just that bad.
Well, to be fair, Twisted Sister had already been musicians for like 800 years.
Sure. Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, they were on it. Plus, you know, they just, you know, it's this high energy more than Rat.
Yep, I have to agree. Great record.
But anyway,
it's fantastic. For sure. One of my favorite metal records.
For sure. And then the other one that was on this list was The Dokken, which we talked about last
time. Yeah, we talked about last time.
So, Dennis, you said you wanted to bring something up.
I'm gonna run a band by you. For some reason,
do we want to do our top three of this first? Or
Let's do that. Let's do that real quick.
So do we have a top three? Do you guys have a top three?
I got a top two.
I would pick, obviously, Kiss. The Animalize would be my top. Probably the Quiet Riot would be my second one, and the Rat would be my third.
I would go Rat, Van Halen, and then Kiss.
Oh shit! I forgot Van Halen was on here. So let's go Van Halen, Kiss, and then Quiet Riot. All
right. Oh, you mean Quiet? You mean Rat? Or did you say? You
no, said Quiet I meant Riot. Quiet Riot.
Oh, you like that? Okay.
Wow. I'm Quiet Riot more than I like Rat.
Wow. Okay.
So I have Rat at number one. I have Animalize at number two, and I have Bon Jovi at three, and Van Halen at four.
Wow. Okay. There's only two really good songs on the Bon Jovi for me.
For me, there was only really two really good songs on the Van Halen record. Three.
See, I like that album a lot. I think it's
not my favorite.
Okay. All right. Well, that's everybody's got an opinion.
Well, they do, but whatever. All right. So what's your question?
Okay. So my feed lately, especially on YouTube, I've been watching YouTube a lot, and I've been, because of the Dave Grohl concerts and stuff, I've been watching a lot of videos, and one band has been showing up for some reason a bunch, and I've been actually every once in a while I'll pop one of them open and watch whatever the part of the video is. Are you guys into or looked into, what's that, Rammstein or
Rammstein?
Rammstein.
Du hast.
I mean,
I'd go see.
They have a great stage show.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. The stage show and the way they do stuff, what they do on stage is fucking just. I mean, it makes Kiss look kind of. I mean, that's a big show. I mean, as a big, and there's flying.
Yeah, it's usually in big stadiums.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's just, I can't get past, and the music's good. The music's great. It's just that singing in German just can't get past that. I mean, you don't. I have no idea. He could be telling me, you know, he could be singing, you know, Dennis is a fucking douchebag.
He is, actually.
You know, basically.
I'm pretty confident that's exactly.
But it's just the words get, you know, I mean, I just, I kind of find him a little bit interesting. I didn't know if they were on your guys' radar. I know we've never really talked about that band. I mean, I would love to see him live. I would like to see the show. I think the show would
be. Yeah, you have to go to Chicago or.
Yeah. Well, they would probably do Nashville at Nissan.
I don't know. I don't think it's
really.
I don't know.
But yeah, their stage is just fucking unbelievable. It's big industrial, you know, and all the flames.
Oh yeah,
and he's shooting the flames, and they got this keyboard player, and this one song, and they're fucking, he's playing this keyboard solo, and every once in a while he shoots his fucking fire cannon at him. The dude ducks down, and he gets back up and starts playing again. He's wearing his fucking flame suit. You know, it's just, it's crazy. But it's more interesting than it is good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I would much rather go see their show than sit and listen to their records.
Oh yeah,
I feel kind of the same way about band like Slipknot. I would love to see a Slipknot show, right. But to sit and listen to a Slipknot record, that's not my thing.
Sure,
yeah,
and I understand that too. Yeah, but no, we've never talked about them, and for some reason my fucking feed has been inundated with those videos, and I don't know how or why, because I've never watched one, but it just got on, it's been in my rotation. So after you watch one, of course, then they're ramming steining it in my fucking ass now. But anyway, or Rammstein or whatever the hell you want to call it. So anyway,
those of you who are still with us, of the albums that we listed, send us an email, drop a comment, tell us what you think. Besides the fact that this is a shit show, we already know that.
If you're a Man of War fan, contact us. Send something to contact@agesofrock.com. We want to talk to you. We want to see what's wrong with you.
We just want to know why.
Their names are probably like some kind of Swedish Viking names, like Bjorn or
Bjorn.
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 I think on that note,
it's beyond me to be able to get this done.
Beyond me. Oh. Yeah. All right, people, visit agesofrock.com. Check out our past social episodes and our media social links and all of that silly bullshit. And the shit show is over.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.